Do you want to hear a ghost story?
I'm so scared.
Good evening. I'm Ben, and this is Do You Want to Hear a Ghost Story? Where each Wednesday, you and I will gather around this virtual campfire to share our scariest experiences. You see, these stories come from people just like you. People who simply wish to share their personal encounters with anything that goes bump in the night. Whether you're a seasoned camper or new to the unexplained, you're in for a hauntingly good time. So gather around and prepare as we get ready to dive into the unknown. Remember, if you have a story, I'd love to share it. You can find the submission email in the episode description, and while you're there, be sure to follow the show on social media. The story for tonight's episode was emailed to me by a Chris G, and it details his experience in the year after his wife passed. Chris does a pretty good job at setting it up and giving you any context you need, so I'm just going to jump right in. So without further ado, do you want to hear a ghost story? I was never spiritual or believed in anything supernatural until my wife died. It was then that my life became intertwined with the spirit realm. Here's the story from the first year of my life after my wife Janice passed, as I moved our family to give us all a fresh start. Janice and I first met in high school as the troubled scholarship kids at a prominent Seattle private school. We found solace in each other and became inseparable. After high school, Janice and I discovered she was pregnant, terrified but determined. We decided to face that future together. We married and had twin girls, Vicky and Heather. Life was good until 8 years later. Janice suddenly passed away from a stroke. As I was grieving, I wanted to honor one of Janice's last wishes, to move our family to Montana and have a little bit more room to grow. And so I did. The first few weeks in Conrad were an adjustment, to say the least. At the time, I think there were about 1,500 people living in town, maybe less. And having moved in from Seattle, we stuck out like sore thumbs. But the girls helped a lot. They had their mother's charm and could easily disarm anyone. We met a few of our neighbors in the building over what was left of the summer, and my boss slash landlady, Mrs. Johnson, helped me figure how to get Heather and Vicky registered for school. As we settled into the Tamarack Apartments, things were quiet, at least at first. However, I started hearing whispers in the hallway, feeling random cold spots and seeing shadows out of the corner of my eyes as I traipsed around the apartment doing an odd job here or there at the direction of Mrs. Johnson. Then Heather and Vicky began complaining about their toys moving around on their own and hearing somebody whisper their name at night. I tried to comfort them, but I too grew anxious. The first day of school came and I took the day off. I walked the girls across the street to the school and dropped them off. When I returned to the apartment, it was just so quiet. I realized that this was the first time I'd ever really been alone since Janice passed. Well, at least alone at home. I began looking around the apartment, wondering what it would look like if Janice were still alive. She was the one to decorate, not me. I, in that moment, became acutely aware of how bland and cold the apartment really was. I decided I needed to change that. I went to my boss and asked her if I could look around some of the things that previous tenants had left, see if there was anything that I could maybe put up to make my apartment a little bit more homey. She kept all that stuff in a small closet in the basement near the laundry room. I'd become very familiar with the room over the last few weeks because the washing machine in this apartment never wanted to work. And well, it was literally my job now to make sure it did. The stairwell into the basement was not very well lit. A single bulb attached to a string hung from the ceiling at the top of the stairs, at the landing on the first floor. There was a light switch at the bottom of the stairs to turn the lights on into the hallway once you got down there. It was on my to-do list to add more lighting and add a second light switch that could operate from the top of the steps. But with getting the girls and myself situated, I hadn't gotten around to it yet. I pulled the string to turn on the light at the top of the steps and began to descend into the basement. When the light had gotten turned off on me. I thought maybe someone walking by just pulled it, turning it off without seeing me. So I returned to the top of the steps and peeked my head into the hallway, only to see that there was no one around. I thought it was kind of odd, but I tried not to think too much of it. I turned the light back on and checked the bulb extensively to make sure it wasn't close to burning out, but it looked just fine to me. So I headed back down to the closet to look for some decorations for my apartment. The store, as my landlady called it, was pretty disappointing. I found a few cliche, "home is where the heart is" type signs to put up. I didn't find much to take, but there was enough that I needed to use both of my arms to carry everything up the steps. When I got to the top of the stairs, I bent over to put everything down when, shink, the light turned off behind me. I stood there dumbfounded. This was the second time now. I pulled the light string a couple times to confirm the sound. Shink, shink, turning the light on and off. As I just looked down into the dark abyss that was the basement. Now, I was thoroughly creeped out, but still at this point in my life, I didn't really believe in the paranormal. So I figured that maybe I just needed to fix the lighting in the stairwell sooner. But it was when I bent over to pick up my things when heavy footsteps descended the steps next to me. I jumped, almost screamed, and dropped all of my things, even breaking one of the signs. My boss must have been coming to check on me because I heard some laughter from down the hallway. When I turned, she was standing there smiling. "Did you finally meet the boogeyman?" I scoffed at first. I think maybe I'm just a little bit tired. She shook her head, still smiling. No, there's something definitely not too nice down there. Surprised you haven't met it sooner." She then proceeded to talk about how this building is sort of a local legend. "Really?" I asked. My curiosity now piqued. "Oh, yes. The Tamarack building here wasn't always a residential building. I believe it was a hospital back in the 1900s. The first one in Conrad, if I'm remembering correctly." "A hospital?" I raised an eyebrow. Yeah, it was used to treat tuberculosis patients, I'm pretty sure. Back when it was running rampant and they just didn't really have anywhere else to put them, so they isolated them here." "Yeah, they tried," she paused, as if trying to recall folklore stories she heard as a kid. "They tried everything, from fresh air treatments to heliotherapy, but, I mean, you know, tuberculosis, really no one survived. And, well, a lot of people think none of them ever left." I felt a chill run down my spine. "I must have missed that in the advertisement," I said half-jokingly. Miss Johnson nodded slowly. "There are two ghosts in particular that people talk about the most. One is that of a nurse who used to work here and fell ill herself. Legend is her name was Eliza, and her spirit has stayed behind to look over all of the spirits of her former patients. While her presence can be unsettling, she's harmless. But that being said, the one in the basement, well, let's just say we've had a few incidences. It's best to be alert down there." I just gulped. Mrs. Johnson smiled, but sort of a sad smile, like she understood that I was uneasy. "Look, Chris, I've lived here for decades, and I've seen it all. The spirits here, for the most part, aren't malicious. They're just lingering, tied to this place for whatever reason. In my experiences, so long as you respect the building, there's nothing to fear. My girls and I stayed at the Tamarack for many years, and experienced other odd occurrences here and there. Right before they started high school, I moved them into a proper house. But I kept my job at the Tamarack until retiring a few years ago. While my incident on the stairs was the most overtly paranormal one I ever had, I have become very spiritual since. If you'll have me, I have many more stories to share. Chris."
Oof.
This is just one of this is a good old fashioned ghost story, in my opinion. Like, this is just, it's eerie. First off, Chris, I am incredibly sorry to hear about your wife. I know we emailed back and forth, so like you're already well aware that you've already heard all this from me. But Chris does want me to share the stroke awareness acronym, so everyone is on board with that. The acronym is FAST, stands for face, arms, slurred speech, and time. So if you or anybody starts to notice a numbness, tingling, or droopiness in your face, one of your arms on the same side, I believe, goes numb, it's weak, you can't use it, and you begin slurring your speech, it is time to call the ambulance. Don't think about it, call the ambulance. Yeah, you wanted me to share that with everybody. But the footsteps on the stairs, there's just, for me, there is something about seeing where I think I am hearing the footsteps from and seeing nothing causing those footsteps. Like, if I'm on a floor and I hear footsteps on the floor above me, that doesn't scare me as much. But if I'm standing like at the top of the stairs, bottom of the stairs, in a hallway, and I hear footsteps on those stairs and those hallways, but I don't see anything making that sound, that is just, like, I would nope right the hell out immediately. I would have moved out. I would find a new place to live. No, thank you. I think there's a video that went around social media last year. I don't know if the video was from last year or not. Sometimes those like paranormal videos sort of like circulate and recirculate. But it was someone standing at the top of the steps, and you just started hearing footsteps like running up the steps. And that video is one of the most terrifying videos I've ever seen. If that happened to me, I would not be a happy camper. I'll tell you that much for sure. I'd be pretty upset. But yeah, Chris, thank you for sharing the story, and I would love to hear the rest of your stories. So feel free to send them in. And that is all for today's episode. So thank you for listening to this episode of Do You Want to Hear a Ghost Story? If you enjoyed it, please share to share it with your family and friends. That's pretty much the best thing you guys can do for me. I recently hit 50 listeners, so that was pretty exciting. Two episodes in, 50 listeners. Woohoo! But yeah, keep sending me in your stories. Keep sharing with your friends and family. I am really grateful for each and every one of you, considering that in my real life, I only know who 7 of you are. So it's pretty crazy to think that there's 43 people out there who are enjoying this as much as I am enjoying doing it. Be sure to follow the show on social media. You can find everything in the episode description. And until next time, stay spooky.